Hello, Heartlands. My name is Raina Francis Manu, and I would like to welcome you to the Sounds of Heartlands podcast. I'll be your host, guiding you through real conversations with our members of our Heartlands family, giving us insight not just into what they do, but also who they are beyond the classroom. Today's episode is titled Beyond the Teacher, where we explore the realities of being a teacher, the challenges and the moments that matter, and the things teachers and students might not always see. And today's guest is Mr. Campbell. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon.
To start off with, can you tell us a little bit about your role at Heartlands High School?
So my role is pastoral manager and deputy designated safeguarding lead. Mm. So I oversee behaviour as part of the pastoral team mm-hmm. and manage the engagement officers, which mm-hmm. there are currently five, okay. and work alongside with the heads of year, work alongside pastoral team in terms mm-hmm. of myself, Mr. Anastasi, Miss Fitzmaurice, and the person who oversees us all is Miss Bauer. So we do the general day-to-day behaviour, mm-hmm. pastoral and welfare of the students. Then on the other side of my actual role is mm-hmm. the designated safeguarding lead, the deputy. So I work with Miss Chikunu mm-hmm. as well as Miss Mrs. Roberts and obviously Miss Hockley and Mr. Levis. So we mm-hmm. are the main safeguarding people that you see the picture of on the wall.
On the walls, yeah. Around the school.
So any issues that are happening in school that students need to come and talk to us about, we are the first point of contact in terms of safeguarding.
Okay. Big role.
Yeah, challenging.
A lot to do.
Always a lot to do. No 2 days are the same.
Fair enough. Okay, so on my podcast, we do a round called Quick Fire Favorites, mm-hmm. and you have to answer the question as quick as you can.
All right, no problem.
Favorite subject?
Oh, English.
Favorite book?
Before the Mayflower, which is a book about Black history by Lerone Bennett Jr. Mm. that talks about life before slavery and the Mayflower ship. I think it was in the early 1400s, so what Africa was like before slavery and before the transatlantic slave trade.
Interesting. Favorite film?
Raging Bull, Robert De Niro, 1978-79 film about Jake LaMotta, boxer. Robert De Niro is probably one of my favorite actors of all time. And film is in black and white, very hard, very gritty. It's just about the lifestyle of this boxer that mm-hmm. was Rocky Marciano, who was a heavyweight champion of the world in the 1950s, I believe it was, or early 60s. Uh-huh. But yeah.
Favorite country?
Right. So I have two. I will go primarily with Thailand.
Ooh.
And my second favorite country right now is Barbados.
Oh, I think everybody loves a little bit of Barbados.
Yeah, Barbados is amazing. But Thailand is probably my first favorite country.
Why?
I've been four times. Took my sons for the first time 2017 mm-hmm. and just fell in love with it. People, the food, the scenery, the culture. Mm-hmm. Went back again the following year. Mm-hmm. Then I took up Muay Thai and then went and trained over there on two separate occasions. For like 2-3 weeks at a time, so yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Favorite break time snack?
Oh, right, I shouldn't say this, and I know someone like Mr. Levis, if I say this, is going to laugh. Probably if I do get a chance to have it, a cookie. Yeah, I just sneak one in here and there, but at the moment I've not been, because I've been training and doing a couple of events, I've stayed away from them, but cookie.
Fair. Okay.
Once
favorite hobby outside of school?
I have so many. I mean, obviously I train a lot. So I like activities. So I like to do fitness, a lot of running, mm-hmm. a lot of endurance work, a lot of weight training and things like that. So I like doing things like that.
Favorite school event?
Favorite school event was Black History Month.
Everybody comes on here and says this. And I'm like, there's other events.
Yeah, the cultural event actually was quite good. The last two were good that they had. But yeah, I think the Black History, I think one of the, I'm gonna have to be a bit precious here. I think the one that myself and Miss Fitzmaurice put on was probably one of my favorite ones.
Fair enough.
It was good though.
It was good.
See?
A fun fact people wouldn't know about you.
Oh, gosh. So I used to be a music producer. I produced Craig David back in the day. I produced Beverly Knight. I produced Jamiroquai. I produced Liberty X, I produce Hearsay, I produce Mystique, I produce, who else that you guys may know that are not so much old school, I'm just trying to think. Christina Aguilera, I did a mix for.
Who that is.
Christina Aguilera, you don't know
No, I don't know who none of those people that you named are.
Yeah, well, you need to listen back to this and you need to go and find out who some of these are. But they were, when I was doing music 20 years ago, they were some of the biggest artists. Wow. In not just in the UK,
maybe,
but in
I
the
know
world.
The voice, but I don't know the name.
Maybe, but Craig Davies, you should know. Rewind, Bo Selector.
No,
no. When the crowd said no, okay, maybe not.
No. I don't really listen to old school music. So.
Yeah, but you should. In order to make new school, you have to go back to the old school. Even when I was doing music, you go back to the old to recreate and bring up the new.
So, what does your role at Heartlands mean to you personally?
For me, good question. I love the fact of working with young people. Mm. I've always enjoyed working with young people. It's always been something that I had at the back of my mind, but never thought that I would end up doing it in this capacity, because obviously I came from the music industry and came into teaching and education. So I think just being able to see transitions and transformations of young people from when they come in, or whatever state, you know, whatever frame of mind they come in, you have an influence. And I think one of the biggest things for me is actually meeting students like 5, 6, 7, 8 years later, after they've left school, and you have these really amazing conversations with what school meant to them, how they didn't like school, how they did like school. Different, you know, I've got so many students that I still keep in contact with that it's really quite encouraging to hear their stories like 10 years later. So I was ahead of year in my last school.
Okay.
So my first year group was 2012 to 2017. So I still keep in touch with probably about 50 of the students.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they all message me on Instagram and I've got their picture on my wall in my office.
Yeah, I'm always asking you, who's these people?
See? So for me, that's been a really integral part of why I enjoy it and why I've probably stayed in it so long.
Fair. So what inspired you to start?
It wasn't so much that I was inspired to start. It was more when I came out of the music industry, I wanted to find something different to do.
Okay.
And I got into doing lectures on music production.
Okay.
So universities and colleges would invite me in to do what we, at that time it was called music production masterclasses. And I'll do some of those. And then from that, people heard of my work. And I got into a school called Oasis Academy. Working, teaching music, and then things kind of just kind of spiraled, really.
Went up from there.
Yeah, so I never even thought I'd be, even when I meet my friends who still work in the industry, they will say, Campbell, you're a teacher or you work in education. I'm like, yeah. They went, how? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't actually know.
It all just happened.
It just happened, but it was a great transition and I really would not change it for the world.
That's interesting. So what's the best thing about Heartlands?
Students. And that's going to sound, because you can have good students and not so good students, but characters, personalities. Everyone that you come in contact with has a different personality. Everyone is unique.
True.
And I that always, no matter what they are, if you want to class them as students that have, you know, some behavior issues, to students that are outstanding, you know, A-star students, I enjoy them all. And some days are better than others, some days it's more of a challenge, but that's part of why we do what we do. So yeah
it's true. Okay, so if you could invite one person, dead or alive, to have school dinner with you at Heartlands, who would it be and why?
Oh my gosh. Wow, fascinating question. Right, so some of my heroes, I Malcolm X.
Okay.
You can see from some of my language, I love kind of culture that is enriching and empowering. And someone like Malcolm X, when I was growing up, was very misinterpreted by Western media as being someone that was, you know, a racist and all these different things. But Malcolm was really about economics and empowerment and change, and he was radical in his thinking, but he was an incredible teacher. And if you ever have a chance to listen to how he articulates his conversations, it's just one of the most fascinating things to just actually sit down. So there'll be him, and I'm not trying to be, and Stevie Wonder, if we talk about the, if we talk about the articulate in terms of Someone who's a great orator and someone who's a great educator and activist. But then Stevie Wonder, probably the greatest, for me, musician of our entire generation.
You
100%. And if you don't understand how influential that guy has been, what you've got to remember, he started in the music industry when he was about 10 years old.
I don't know that, you know.
As a young artist, little Stevie. He might even have been younger than that. I can't remember. But the point is, he's someone that is still alive today, still making music, still tour. And I would love to sit and have a conversation with him, Randina. And I'm going to give you one interesting story because it's quite funny. So my mum, who still goes to church, and about maybe 20 years ago, I went to dinner at my mum's house, as I usually do on a Sunday. And my mum said to me, "Guess who came to church today?" And I went, "Who?" And she went, "Stephen Wonder." I said, "What?" I said, "Mum, you're joking. What do you mean? Stevie Wonder?" She went, "Yeah." So apparently after his show in London, he was looking for a church to go. And he visited my mum's church. And I spoke to one of my friends who goes to the church. And
they
went,
were like, "It's true. 100%
true."
Wow.
So I was incredibly jealous because I wish I was there on that day. But yeah, but he's my musical hero. Malcolm X would be my kind of like social justice hero.
Hey. So on the topic of Heartlands, what's something about your role that students might not realise?
That's an easy one, actually. They always go, so how's it being? What's it being like an engagement officer, sir? And now I go, "I'm not an engagement officer." And then I show them my badge. And they go, "But what's a pastoral manager? You're not in church." I'm like, "Okay, interesting. I see we're going to have to explain this." So yeah, I think some people... Not that it's, I say to my manage the engagement officers and oversee the behavior team. So I'm not, so yeah, that's something that some students think that I'm an engagement officer and I'm not.
Okay.
Some students.
Some.
Most people know otherwise.
Yeah. So what's the most challenging part of the role?
The most challenging that no 2 days are the same and you spend a lot of time on your feet. I'd probably end up doing anything. Let's just prove the point. Hold on, I'm just looking at my watch. Right, so I end up doing anything from 10,000 to 20,000 steps a day.
A day?
In this building.
Just this building?
Just this building.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And you train?
Yeah.
Yeah.
6 a.m. in the morning.
That's good, man.
Have to keep fit. I have to be on my toes for this role.
Yeah, you do.
100%.
It's a big role.
Very much so.
So what keeps you motivated?
What keeps me motivated? I suppose the fact of getting up and enjoying what I do. I don't think there's anything kind of like specific. I suppose people around me that are like who I class as my dear friends.
Aww.
And people that I was saying to someone today that actually, and you've been in my office, so you know I have certain pictures of certain people in my office. And one of the pictures that I've got in my office is some of my friends from school.
Okay.
That is from 1979.
Wow.
So I say I've been friends with the people that are on my wall, that my close friends that are four of them, for nearly 50 years.
That's
and
a
we
long
still
time.
See each other. We still talk. I was with two of them last week. I'm going to see another one tomorrow. And things like that we are still in each other's space and each other's time, and we met 1979 and we're still friends now. So that to me is in some aspects inspiring, but also it motivates me to to show others that you can build long-lasting friendships with people at school. But know who your friends are.
That's my next question. So how did you keep those friendships?
By understanding that your friends, if they're really your true friends, they will tell you the truth, but never in a judgmental way, always in a way that they want to make you do better. So if one of us done something wrong, the three of us will have a go at the other one. But it always go around. No one was ever perfect. And we didn't argue. Like fight and argue, you know, like especially I went to an all boys school.
Okay.
So there was a lot of fights in my school. Yeah, a lot of fights in my school. And we didn't. We would have words, but we would never like stay away. I mean, obviously we didn't have mobile phones and things like that, so we didn't go home and then, "Oh, I'm gonna text you and say all some madness." We didn't do any of that, but we come back to school the next day and we resolve any little disagreement that we had.
Mm.
We maybe had got into trouble with some other students that weren't my friends, but
yeah.
my core Your, group of friends, yeah. we were tight. So that's what was something for me that really was important, especially growing up, and how we still are, have that now.
Fair enough. So upon growing over the years, can you share a moment where you felt like you really made a difference?
Oh, gosh. It's been a few. Obviously, I'm not going to name names,
mm-hmm.
but I've had one particular student, not in this school, in my last school,
mm-hmm.
that ended up, had quite a challenging upbringing.
Okay.
And I would spend time just talking with him. But there was something about him that I saw
mm-hmm.
that when I spoke to his mum for the first time, I said, there's something really about your son that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he's got like a, and I'm not just saying this, a leadership mentality. I said, people just kind of gravitate to him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I said to her that I'll look after your son.
Mm-hmm.
And I really meant it when I said it, because yeah. just to make the story a little bit more, give a bit more nuance to the story, her older son had been in prison and she was really concerned about him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sat down and I said, no, I'll look out for your son. So don't get me wrong, I didn't treat him with favoritism.
Yeah.
If I had to be hard with him, I had to be hard with him. And if I had to kind of like, you know, praise him, I'll praise him. But anyway, cut a long story short. So on the last day of school, so I was his year leader from year 7
mm-hmm.
to year 11.
Okay.
On the last day of school, we had the shirt signing and everything. I did my speech and the kids signed my shirt.
Aww.
And they signed, like, so the shirt that I had on, they said, Mr. Campbell, so everyone started signing my shirt. He came up to me at the end
mm-hmm.
and he said, sir, can I, he said, I guess I've got to sign your shirt then. I said, yeah, of course you do. So he signed it like on the side of me, so I couldn't see what he wrote.
Okay.
So it's only when I got home and I took off the shirt and I started reading the message, and because I remembered where he signed it and he wrote, thank you for being a father to me.
Oh, that's actually so cute.
Yeah, so that really just, even at the time when I read it, it just broke me up, because I realized how much
of an impact you really made
that I had on him, for him to say that. And it really just made me realize how important that when you invest in young people and you do it with a genuine wholeheartedly, yeah. that people will never, and we still keep in touch. So he's now an MMA fighter.
Ooh.
So I go to see his fights. We've gone out to lunch. He's 26 now, 25, 26. So he's actually the same age as my younger son, because okay. they're same age. So, and even my younger son said something one time to me, and he said, you know, what's his name said to me one day, boy, your dad some days, man. And he went, yeah, that's my dad, that's how he is, because some days your dad just roughs me up, man. And I'm like, and then my son's like, yeah, that's what he does to us. So you get the same treatment. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah,
the father figure showing.
Sounds, yeah, it's important.
Yeah. So how do you celebrate your own progress?
How? I don't know. I don't really sit and go, oh, I'm the best, I'm great. I don't look at life like that. I think for me, just being able to do the job that I do and do mm-hmm. it well is a celebration within itself. I think to be reflective, I think if I celebrate, it's been about being reflective of where I actually come from to
Looking
be
back.
In a position. Yeah, to be in a position that I'm now, I look at it as a privilege. I don't look at it as something that has been afforded to me just because I actually feel really privileged to be in this position, to have an influence on young people's lives. So, yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm.
Okay. So in terms of the students here, what advice would you give them about handling mistakes and setbacks that, you know, are common every day?
No one is perfect. That's the first thing. And we, you know, I've done so many meetings where I say to young people, I'm not expecting you to change overnight. You're going to make mistakes.
Mm.
But it's the fact that you have to be willing to say, I've made that mistake, and be honest with the fact that you've made a mistake, and accept, like, I wouldn't say the criticism, but the words that come with that mistake in terms of people, or the correction, sorry, accept the correction and understand that. I think sometimes what young people do, because, and we did it when we were young, is that because it's coming from an external adult that's not their family,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they find it hard. But what you have to understand is that we've been in that position as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, because we've done it, we know what to do. It's not that kind of mentality. It's like, but we've been there. We understand what it is to, mm-hmm. you know, get a bad grade and to flunk your exams or to flunk your mocks or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, we've understand that. We understand what it is to be disappointed. We understand what it is to fail, but we also understand what it is to be successful. Mm-hmm. So understand when we come to you and we say it to you, it comes from a place of experience. Mm-hmm. So listen to older people, try and take what you can and use that for utilize your advantage it. And utilize it. Yeah, like, you know, you younger people have got a mind that can absorb a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. And it's good to, you know, you're when you leave from school, and I say to people, when you leave from school, half of the people that you see, you'll never see again, you'll meet other people that will show you different things that you draw from. There'll be other pools that you draw from, information, social things, anything that will not just be your normal surroundings. So yeah, I'll say to people that learn from your mistakes, but learn quite quickly. Try and learn as quickly as possible and move on.
Okay, you're leaving me quite speechless today.
Is it? That's quite new for you, isn't it, Rena?
I mean, like, you're answering the questions to the T, and then I don't have nothing left to say.
There's always something to say.
But, yeah. So what do you wish that students understood more about teachers?
I think that's a double question in one way, and I'm going to throw it back on you a little bit. I think it's also a thing that teachers need to understand about young people as well. So I think it's a two-way street. I think teachers, as a teacher, what I try and do is establish that understanding of understanding you a bit more.
Okay.
So if I'm on the playground, I'm talking to you. If I'm on the corridor, I'm talking to you. I'm trying to build relationships with you away from just the classroom, because you're not just a kid in a room. You're an individual in the world, in a community. So I need to know more about you. And I think people just, as staff, we just need to sometimes take more time to embrace that we have that ability to have those conversations and to strike up those conversations with young people. And what you find when you build those relationships outside of the classroom, when you come into the classroom, it's much more easier to navigate. And I learned that because my first teaching experience was terrible. So I had three students that gave me hell. Like, and people would say, boy, but I wasn't always this confident when I first did it.
Started,
So, and most new teachers are not as confident. So when you come into the arena, you have to learn certain things. And that was something that I gravitated to. Come into a room, see a number of students, and being able to then say, you know what, let me start talking, or let me share who I am to some. I think when I first had my first tutor group, one of the first presentations I did, and I was told that no one ever had done that before, when I had the group the first time, I did a PowerPoint about who am I, just to show them that I'm actually human. So I grew up on a council estate, I weren't from a rich background, and I understand that, you know, life can be hard. I mean, not saying that we don't, and every teacher and every adult in our community and school comes from all different places. But not everyone will know that if they're not being engaged with that, with those conversations. So yeah, that's something I would say that it'd be really important to convey.
Yeah, I would agree. I think I've said this before in one of these podcasts, but yeah, I think it's just understanding that teachers are humans too.
100%.
And they actually do have feelings. And I think sometimes people just talk to teachers anyhow and just think, oh, it don't matter. Or they don't feel it too. Like, I think
we do. Trust me, we do. If us, obviously, you know, working in behaviour. Sorry, I just moved from the mic. Working in behaviour, we probably get a lot more of the negative in terms of behavior directed towards us when we have to deal with certain situations. But again, my primary thing when I'm in those situations, I see the behavior rather than the child, because I know that I've dealt with certain students and then a day later they come back and they apologize. Because in that heat of that moment, everything is unleashed. You are the enemy in their eyes because you're confronting that behavior. But then after that, they realize and they go, you know what, sir, blah, blah, blah. And so while I don't take things personal, I've learned that in teaching. No, I don't. And I don't, because you can get really, and get mad.
Had enough.
Okay, yeah, but you learn that a young person is a young person. And I was a young person too. And I said some things when I was young that I shouldn't have said. Fair. You get what I mean? And I've got young sons. Well, they're not, they're big men now, but when my sons were young, same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not always going to, what's the word? You're not always going to encounter politeness.
Yeah, the best
side of an individual. So you have to realize that individual. And most times when you deal with certain things, you realize that individual's got so many other things going on. And school is just somewhere where they're probably even safe.
Mm.
So you also have to have a little bit of a backstory on certain students. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah, but don't you think that part of understanding comes with the role of being safeguarding?
Yes and no, because I think it's really, yeah, yes, because if we do have a bit of a background, but mm-hmm. not every child that is in the school has got a safeguarding file,
mm-hmm.
you know, as high as, you know, my arm from the floor right now. I know you can't see it, but my point is that some students are just, you know, got certain issues or just might be having a bad day, you know, and you're not the source of their bad day. It's a bit like, you know, I know you don't drive, but it's a bit like road rage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right? Yeah. Right.
So I'm one of these people. I just don't do road rage.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh.
So when people try and act it at me, I'm like, the 5 seconds that you're going to do that, if I was to now react to you, that can cost another minute, 2, 3, 5 minutes. It's just going to be a waste of time.
Fair.
You get what I mean? So it's the same thing sometimes when in a situation. Sometimes what we have to learn is how to de-escalate. And to make sure that even if a student is hitting the ceiling, we're not going to make that student go through the roof. We're going to do our best to bring that situation and to calm it right back down.
Fair enough. I think I've had my fair share of that.
But that's, for me, the best way I find to deal with those situations. You don't match fire with fire. If you just press pause, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, you don't match the same energy. You don't need to.
Yeah,
you know, we're the adults in the room. So it should be.
Bringing it back down.
Bringing it back down. Yeah, okay. 100%. And I had to learn that. So I wasn't always like that.
Fair enough. Well, you do your job really well.
Well, thank you right now.
You're welcome. I don't think I've ever said that before.
Well, I appreciate you for saying that.
Okay, so coming to an end, coming to a close. If you could leave students with one message, what would it be?
Take this opportunity now, because life can be very unexpected in terms of where life leads as you get older. This is the shortest period that you have in terms of trying to gain as much knowledge as information and opportunities for free in school. To take it, you have experts, people that have gone through universities, got degrees, got PhDs, that know way more than you, and feed off that. And yeah, we know school, some students love school, some students hate it, but it's the shortest space of 5 years. As I said, I went to school that had a lot of fights. My school was terrible.
Yeah.
All right, 22%, I think, GCSE, or back in those days, O-level pass rates.
Damn.
So awful. They didn't care about us. So for me now, in a school that really cares about you, and about your well-being and about your education, make the most of it. Make the most of this opportunity, because it goes quick. I remember you in year 7.
It goes quick.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So I think you just need to know that, make the most of this opportunity. It's here. People are here working for you. People are here to make you better and take the opportunity, because at the end of the day, that's what we want. We want people to be successful and to succeed. And that's not a cheesy line. That's about life survival. Because when you leave from here, no one's going to be able, not everyone is going to spend as much time correcting you.
As much as you guys do. Right. Yeah, that's true.
They're not.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a fact.
I think it took me a while to actually realise that.
Yeah, but you realised.
I did realise.
And it's never too late to realise.
Mm.
So that's the most important thing.
That's true. Okay, it's been a good little run.
Very good. I've really enjoyed our time right now. That's good. And well done for promoting the podcast as well.
Thank you. So I would like to thank you for joining us today and being a part of this conversation. I hope this episode has given you a new perspective on the people who support us every single day. And to sign off, my thought of the week is, you don't always see the effort behind consistency, but showing up every single day, even when it's hard, that's the story. So this is Raynell signing off. Until next time, thank you.